Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it is good being with you. This begins the start of our extended Halloween. Now, normally somebody would say pre-Halloween because it ain't here yet, but we know October is our favorite month for creativity, and we'll have extra shows this month to bring out our own special approach toward what's going on in the little old mad scientist lab. We'll begin with the main question. Is the significant other of a ghost a boo? I guess we'll find the answer out over the next 2 hours. But if not, know sometime between now and the 31st, we seek to gain the answer to that same question.
Traveling to another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind, a journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are those of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Mr. Chambers.
Now what?
It is a mealtime. Repeat. Meal time.
How exciting.
Kindly state your preference, please.
You really think I care?
We have a full menu on board, suitable for human consumption. It has been designed to meet your dietary needs.
I don't have an appetite.
That does not compute, Mr. Chambers.
I said I am not hungry, all right, ship?
Very well.
I'll let you know when.
Safety alert.
Oh, it's just a cigarette.
Please extinguish all smoking materials at once. Please extinguish.
Okay.
Deposit in appropriate receptacles. This is a mandatory safety measure.
I heard you.
Thank you for your cooperation.
This is going to be a long trip.
It is for your own good. Cigarettes are harmful. They are extremely hazardous to your health.
And traveling through outer space, that's not...
Comparisons are relative.
Is that right?
Please define your frame of reference.
Well, here's a reference for you. The moon.
Which moon?
Anyone will do. As in, why don't you go take a flying jump at it?
Kindly repeat.
Forget it.
You do not care for food at this time.
Leave me alone.
You do not care.
Yes, I do not care for food at this time.
Very well.
Very well, very well. Hey! Ow! Oh, my hand.
Please refrain from striking the walls of your sleep module.
How do you expect me to sleep if you won't stop talking?
We only seek assurance that your needs are being met. Your well-being is our primary concern.
Yeah.
Please conserve water.
A man's got a right to wash his face if he feels like it.
Mr. Chambers, your trip requires the careful use of life-sustaining resources. Please conserve the water supply.
I'm going to lie down now, try and catch some shut-eye. Nothing else to do.
As you wish.
Wait. Are you there, ship? What time is it?
Your question is meaningless.
Why?
There is no time and space.
Look, I only want to know.
This is to say, there is no chronology that can be calibrated without a reference point.
What time is it?
on Earth. Can you tell me that without an exercise in Euclidean geometry? Just tell me what the time is back home.
What is the location of back home?
New York City.
In New York City, it would be 12 noon.
12 noon. Imagine that.
I do not understand your request. Please rephrase.
Leave me alone now.
You wish solitude.
Yes, I wish solitude.
Very well.
Respectfully submitted for your proposal, one Mike Chambers, linguist and cryptographer, formerly attached to the Pentagon. A highly educated individual who can break any code and decipher any language, at least on Earth. A man who shook hands, figuratively speaking, with a modern-day Christopher Columbus from another world. The height of this creature, a little over 9 feet, give or take a few millimeters, weight in the neighborhood of 350 pounds. Origin, unknown. Motives? Well now, therein lies the tale. And it's no ordinary. You'd best hear the story from Mr. Chambers himself. Just remember, you're not on the Earth anymore. You're traveling at something close to light speed on a journey that will take you directly through the Twilight Zone. And now, the Twilight Zone and our story, To Serve Man, starring Blair Underwood, with Stacey Keach as your narrator. Well, somewhere, but not here. This is the way nightmares begin. More to the point, the way they end. Very simple, direct, and unadorned. Incredible. And yet, even while they're happening, we learn to live with them. We digest and assimilate new information as best we can, beginning with the smallest bits, the ones that are easy to process. So, if it's 12 o'clock noon back home, the only home you've ever known, that's what occupies your mind. You don't think about slide real time or when it would be 12 o'clock the next day or the day after that. We live in the moment, but that's precisely what we should have been thinking of, all of us. Tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, we were preoccupied with the hands on a clock. All we could have checked off the days on a calendar. One by one, and appreciated all that we had while there was still time. It started on an April day. It was noon then, too. And people walked and drove and bought and sold and fretted and laughed as they have always done. The world went on much as it had, with a tentative tiptoeing along the precipice of crisis. There was the economy to worry about, and wars, and the Middle East, and all the other myriad problems, major and minor, that had been with us for years, but they had somehow begun to lose their edge, I suppose because we had grown so accustomed to them. And that's when it happened.
Mommy, what's that?
Why, I don't know.
Something flying over in the sky. It must be an airplane.
But it's so bright.
I know what it is. It's a flying saucer.
Oh, it can't be.
Look, it is.
That's when we first heard they had come. And that's when we should have prepared ourselves, but we didn't. Instead, we milled around like farm animals, worried only about our creature comforts, while the Secretary General of the United Nations made the first official announcement. I watched that broadcast, the same as you did, live from the lobby of the UN in New York City. It came from the lobby, not the General Assembly. That rather large auditorium was empty, not due to a long lunch hour or an ambassadorial walkout or even the end of the world. The representatives of all nations were at that moment watching their television sets and listening to their radios, much as were their peoples around the world. For, as it turned out, this would be a rather momentous afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, just hang on. If you could move back, please, the Secretary General will answer all your questions.
Move in. Try it. Where's the other mic? Okay. Even news remote, take one. Get it out. Try.
Mr. Secretary, if we could have a shot of you.
Look at the camera, please.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Quiet, please.
No questions just yet. I have a prepared statement. I say I have a prepared statement. Would you give me your attention, please? I'll read it now, if I may. Ladies and gentlemen, I should like to recapitulate the events of the past 11 days. On the 14th of March, shortwave broadcasts were received in the principal capitals of the world. It was established that these transmissions did not originate on Earth. Rather, their origin was extraterrestrial. The first messages were merely announcements that there would soon be multiple landings at various points around the globe. We were assured that these landings would be peaceful and that there was no cause for alarm. Nevertheless, United Nations forces were put on alert. As you know, these broadcasts continued to grow in strength for several days.
Is it true that they've landed?
Please, no questions yet. At 11 this morning, Eastern Standard Time, the first landing took place in an area outside Newark, New Jersey. We have subsequent reports of additional landings in Russia, Norway, the southern coast of France, Rio de Janeiro, and several other locations. It is the position of the United Nations that it would be premature to assume hostile intent. Our recommendation is that the world's countries remain calm and make no show of force. All governments are being apprised of these events as they develop. The current situation at present is therefore...
What do they look like?
Yeah, what do they look like? Are they human? Or are they little green men?
What do they want here anyway?
As of this moment, we do not know who they are or the purpose of their arrival. We know only that several of their craft have touched down and that...
Hold on, Mr. Secretary.
Who's that? Looks like the guy from the Pentagon. What are they for?
It must be something big.
Sir, tell them. Are you sure? Quite sure. We've cleared it with the White House. All right. It seems that one of the craft has just landed a few blocks away. One of the representatives of the visitors is apparently on his way to this building.
Now, all the wires are ready. Give me a direct feed. Now.
It appears that he has requested an audience with the General Assembly.
That's correct.
In a few moments, we'll reassemble in the... Good Lord.
Mr. Chambers.
Yeah?
I think you'd better see this.
What is it, a UN proclamation?
They're not in session.
They've called a special assembly. This looks important.
We don't even know where the ships are from. Once we triangulate the signal... What?
They're here.
Jeez Louise, the size of it!
That was the first time I saw him, or it, or whatever it was, I still don't know. Judging by the Secretary General, it was at least 9 or 10 feet tall, and I stood there watching the TV screen like everyone else, and just like you, I didn't know quite what to think. Honey, I always imagined that first contact would be some kind of transcendent experience, special effects and a heavenly choir. The shock of finally seeing the other, something not human, that's not from around here, definitely not. But to be honest, all I felt was a kind of detached scientific curiosity. Was it intelligent? Well, it had to be to travel this far. Did it talk? I was soon to find out. We all were, weren't we?
Come to order, please. May I have your attention? Not all of our member nations are here yet, but our visitor has requested an opportunity to address the assembly. So, for the moment, I would ask you all to be patient. Please, order. Order. Remain calm. The floor is yours, Mr. Rather.
Ladies and gentlemen of Earth, we greet you in peace and friendship. We come from a planet beyond your solar system and well beyond your galaxy, a planet far more developed than yours.
Why are you here?
To establish.
Hey, what's that book? Get a picture of it.
What's the title?
I can't see. He's not even moving his lips.
He doesn't have lips, does he?
To establish embassies here and in the near future to set up reciprocal visits between Earth people and cannabis.
Must be what they're called.
Write that down. Cannabis.
How do you spell it? Speaking on behalf of the governments of the people of Earth, we bid you, cannabis, welcome. How shall I address you?
I have no name, as you understand the term, but you must have many questions. Please, feel free to ask me anything. Anything at all, of any nature.
We have a great many questions, but to proceed in an orderly fashion, how did you discover us? How do you know our language, and as to your own planet, what is its political and social makeup? Of course, we most fervently wish to know why you have chosen us to...
First of all, we must make the following admission. We do not know your language.
Then how?
Our own methods of communications are mental rather than verbal. Hence, the voice you hear is artificially generated. Your words, or rather, your thoughts, are received and processed by an automatic translation device. My responses are in turn electronically altered to simulate vocal sounds in a language known to you.
You cannot speak, then?
Not in the literal sense.
Astonishing. We understand you perfectly.
As to your other questions, how can we not visible to you? It lies far beyond what you call the known universe, but it is highly advanced technologically. Its political and social makeup are complex. I cannot describe it without first educating you in the basics of our society. That may be a lengthy process.
Are you willing to be interrogated here at the United Nations in a special plenary session? All of our nation's representatives could attend. I'm sure they have many questions.
I would be delighted. I believe that is the proper response.
We thank you for your courtesy. Until then. Well, that's it.
For now.
I can't get over the size of them. Are you sure they're not using trick photography?
No way. It's a live feed on all the networks. What do you make of that big book?
It only looks little in his hands. Probably a perfectly normal hardcover.
There's nothing normal about it if you brought it all this way.
Maybe it's a dictionary. The most commonly used phrases.
He wouldn't need a dictionary. He said they have an automatic translation machine.
A guidebook, then. Protocols, that sort of thing.
Something printed on the cover. If we could just get a view of it.
It's not in any language we know, that's for sure.
No, maybe not. Any group of symbols can be deciphered.
Even non-human symbols?
That would be a tough one, all right.
If he brings it with him next time, I can capture the image and try to enhance it.
Do that, would you, Randall? This may be the challenge of a lifetime. What I have got to know.
Come to order, please. Order. meeting is now in session. Members of the General Assembly, our visitors, the candidates, have graciously acceded to our request that their representative appear before us to answer further questions. The meeting is now called to order. We will proceed with the first inquiry. Senor Valdez of Argentina is recognized. Please use your microphone. You may remain seated.
Why, Mayor, why exactly have you chosen our planet for this visit?
It has come to our attention that Earth is destroyed by many catastrophes, both natural and unnatural, all of which could be easily prevented. We are here to help you.
Recognizing Dr. Dennis Levesque, a representative from France, your question, please.
Monsieur Canemet, my government wishes me to ask you, what is the nature of your health? What form will it take? Indeed, if we should choose not to avail ourselves of the assistance you mentioned, your response would be?
We will not force anything on you. You may accept only that which you choose. For example, on the Monday, tomorrow, that is, we will demonstrate an alternative top source, molecular in nature, which will supply a form of electricity to the entire continent at a cost of a few dollars, or rubles, or pesos, or any other currency. You will find it extremely economical.
Mr. Grigori, the Russian delegate, you have the floor.
We would like to ask the candidate directly, man to man, what are its true motives? Are we to assume that your purpose is totally altruistic, that you have an abiding interest in helping others? Are we further to assume that there is nothing beyond this boundless humanity of which you speak?
There is nothing ulterior in our motives. You will discover this for yourselves soon enough by testing the various devices we make available to you.
What advices?
I think the representative has answered your question.
For example, we can show you a simple way to add nitrate to the soil and end famine on Earth. We can demonstrate the principles of a practical force to cloak each nation with an invisible wall impenetrable by arms, missiles, or any other weapon. This will bring international peace for all time.
Of course it is what we want.
Of course it is what we want. All we are saying is give peace a chance. Well, why not? Nothing else is working.
Wait a minute. The law is being.
Can I just see what I saw? Sure.
Did the candidate left his book on the podium?
Well, I'll be.
Doesn't he know that?
Well, your fingers are one. The feeling it will tell you everything we need to know.
Yeah, we can decipher it.
Get on the phone and call the floor now. Tell one of the aides to pick it up in a stack of paper that anything stage a distraction if necessary. But get it.
Okay.
That book, they turned out to be the most important one I've ever seen, or anywhere in the known universe.
Hello, Chambers?
Almost got it. What have you got?
Started the migraine headache. And a bad piece of eye strain.
Yeah, we're wasting our time. He can't make it.
Not an 8 hours.
It took almost a year to prep the Japanese phone in World War II, and they had an army of experts working on this. It's the language of people now in space. Probably 500 times as intelligent as we are, and 1,000 times more people.
You need help?
All donations, great things, sir.
I showed this book to everyone on the staff, and I've had a dozen people working on space craft.
And you must have some idea.
You yourself, but pretty much everything. Single transposition, double transposition, every method of photography there is. Nothing seems to work on this piece. More like hieroglyphs, but with no known pictographic references.
Is that what they are? Hieroglyphs?
They have certain things in common with ancient Egyptian writing, but much more complicated. And we have no Rosetta Stone to include it. But I can't hardly say whether we're any closer now or a million miles. So you can't decipher it. We can keep trying, that's all. Standard, reverse, direct, systematic index, keyword, mix, random mix, reciprocal conjugate, every sequence we can come up with. But I can tell you something right now, I'm open. This is a tough one. A real tough one. If it was so important,
it must be. That candidate, or whatever he calls himself, made reference to it every third line in his speech.
The White House agrees. If we could understand this book, we might be able to decipher the candidates themselves.
You're getting to wonder if they need.
What?
Well, they've done all right by us so far.
You mean their demonstrations? Politics.
They don't seem like politics, but nitrate is like they use an Argentina before. Now the soil has more vitamins in it than a health food, so
that doesn't prove anything.
I know that part of the country. Barren and fruitless of any place on earth, and there are actually weeds growing 6 hours after the nitrate comes.
And the answer is in this moment.
It might be. And we might make it all, we might not, but I've got a strange feeling that what? That we're looking at influence in the mouth. We've got another funny feeling, and that is that if these candidates are tougher than I think they are, you two boys will be out of a job, and so will I. They're all public enough. And very likely so with the whole end. You won't need arms, or navies, or air forces, or security, which is all world cool. They'll all be.
Am I to assume, Mr. Chambers, that this is a scientific analysis, or just some Kentucky windage?
I don't know what it is, Carl, beyond an instinctive feeling. Same feeling. No, that when everyone on earth gets enough to eat, when there aren't any more wars, or famines, this world is going to be a garden and be an extension of all the poor.
Your optimism is refreshing, Mr. Chambers. But for the time being, I consider it a personal favor, not to mention a direct order from the Chief of Staff, that you continue your efforts regardless of how your feelings change. Keep deciphering until you break this code or language or whatever it is, and tell us precisely what the bloody book says.
I'll do my best. No promises, don't you? Now, let me get back to work.
Jim, I think we
should. What is it, Pat?
We tried a new computer system.
And?
Look at this. We've got the title, anyway.
You translated it. Are you sure?
What does it say?
This is an overlay. Place it over the cover of the book, like your template.
Really, you're going to get a promotion out of this. You know that, don't you?
No, it's more than just me.
Well, I think she's a little more buying. Let me see. Seems that I'll give you a little textbook there, and things that exactly like to get on the cover.
Well, what does it mean?
What does it look like? I'd call that a fairly altruistic phrase, wouldn't you, sir?
I'd like to. It does seem unambiguous.
It certainly does.
What does it say?
Read it down, please, sir. To serve men.
This book is a set of instructions about how to do exactly what they said. They, to help us, to help the world. How much clearer do you want it? They came here to serve men.
That was the title of the book, no doubt about it. Pat and the rest of the staff had done it. They had come up with a template that decided to be somewhere on the cover of the world. It was a place to start. And the most important, at least they had confirmation of the candidate's intention. Everything they had said was quite different. True, they were here for hours. Of course, not all governments hear these persuaded, so here the council. Our visitor was persistent. Getting on the line of pretension so I could. And I jumped. This was one meeting I couldn't afford. If it went according to plan, the world would find out once and for all
what, if anything, the candidates want for themselves, and whether the price, if there was one, was something that they could afford. So I, for one, did not spend any more time with you. Never did you really need.
Gentlemen, let's begin. If you'll please be seated. The purpose of this meeting is to acquaint you with certain tests conducted over the past week. At the request of several delegates and with the full consent of our guests, the candidates, these tests were photographed and recorded. You may now view the results. The tests were conducted by members of the National Science Academy and witnessed by a team of experts. If you'll watch the monitor in front of the room. Lights down, please. Begin the tape.
This machine is a polygraph, standard instrument for measuring the proof or falsity of a statement. Physiology, the cannabis, is unknown to us. Our first objective is to determine whether they react to these measurements as human beings do. We will now proceed with a dry run to establish a baseline read. And Rick, I trust our small chair is not too uncomfortable?
No.
The sensor attached to the torso registers the pulse rate. The second attachment shows electrical conductivity in the palm of the hand as perspiration increases. And the third connection shows the pattern and intensity of electrical waves emanating from the brain. With human subjects, these readings vary markedly, depending upon whether the subject speaks the truth.
I understand.
Then let us begin. And please answer the questions as I instructed you previously. Regarding the relative size of cannabis and human beings, tell me if you would, which is taller, a human or a cannabis? I shall now repeat the question. Which is taller than the other, a human or a cannabis?
A cannabis.
Very good. Next question. How did you come to this planet?
We walked.
Once more, how did you come to this planet?
In a spaceship.
Excellent. My colleagues and I are satisfied that the mechanism is, but I shall ask our distinguished guest to reply to the questions put forth by several UN delegates. Namely, what is the motive for the cannabis in offering so many gifts to the people of Earth?
On my planet, there is a city. There are more riddles in a stone than in the philosopher's head. The motives of intelligent people, though they may at times appear obscure or simple, compared to the complex logics of the natural universe. Therefore, I hope that the people of Earth will understand and believe what I tell you, that our mission upon this planet is simply this, to bring to you the peace and plenty which we ourselves enjoy and which we have brought to other races throughout the galaxy. When the world has no more hunger, no more war, no more needless suffering will be our reward.
Thank you. Most profound.
There you have it, gentlemen. Lights, please.
I should like to pose a question.
Yes, Grigori.
Who is responsible for that circuit?
I assure you, Grigori, the tests were quite genuine.
A circuit, a second-rate farce. If they were genuine, Mr. Secretary, why has debate been stifled?
There'll be time for discussion tomorrow, the next day, and throughout the week. No one is stifling debate.
I would remind the delegate from Russia that everything the tenement has promised is not only work, but work beyond our expectations. The force field that was tested yesterday morning, nothing could be proved, and suddenly we find ourselves in a brave new age. When none of us need fear, a hydrogen bomb or a missile, we are on the threshold of peace, Mr. Grigori. Peace as we have never known it. Yet. I say yet.
After that, there was no stopping the cannon.
They were everywhere, performing miracles of one sort or another around the world. Then became a thing of the past. After the facility of gathering land, he stopped hundreds. The force field proved impervious to unknown man. Then came the cure of the cancer. Heart disease were happening, and all from a simple injection. It's hard to say whether the Canaanites enjoyed their role as thieves. Their eyes were so wide upon him, set so deep in those big, bland faces that you couldn't read much of an expression, with only a tiny circular hole for a mouth, one that never moved. It was impossible to know what they were thinking because they weren't stern. They weren't stern, they were only controlled, placid, almost like kindly men. And they all looked exactly like they sounded the same two calm, mechanical voices that came out of the translation devices under their phones. And then, one day, they were all just as I had. The computers and fail-safe machines and pedagogues had eyes covered in plastic shields because no one was needed to run them anymore. As for cold breakers, I might as well have stayed home. But something kept me there. And then I was waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mr. Chambers?
Over here, Pat.
I'm going home now, boss. Need me for anything?
Like what? This isn't exactly the activity anymore.
You can say that again. The new story of mankind. Nobody needs to decipher anything because, well, there aren't any more codes. But there aren't any more secret messages. Well,
on to the road, on that.
All right. I'm not reading about wars or insurrections or anything anymore. There's a rumor that they're going to disband the United Nations inside of a month.
Go. The new millennium. James.
Cheers. How many candidates are here? Anybody ever figure it out?
A few thousand, I guess. They've got embassies in every country. They want to come, a thousand of us take off one of their ships.
The reciprocal visits they promised.
Now that's the art thing. The ease of which human beings adapted to them. One day an astronaut orbits the Earth in a little Lincoln tin can and they think it's the biggest moment in the history of mankind. A few years later, they're standing in line waiting to get on a ship that'll take them a billion miles into space. They act like they're going on a picnic in the country. That's human beings. Nothing
favors
them.
Are you going?
They think so, on one of their waiting lists. What about you, Patty?
Oh, I'm on the list, too. The trouble is, their quota fills up 24 hours after they announce their departure. But while I'm waiting, I may as well continue studying the language.
Good idea. Words reflect the values of the people who use. If we can understand the vocabulary.
I've got a fair command of it now. It's not that hard, really. And there are hints.
What?
The shades of meaning, the nuances, some of the idioms are quite similar to English. That's how we unlock the title of the book. I'll get you the rest of it one of these days.
More power to you. You gave up a month ago. But if I can help you anyway.
If you can help me. That was your phrase, wasn't it? The only thing you can help me with is help me get rid of this knot in my stomach.
What are you talking about?
One of those nightmares when something's wrong, but you don't know what it is yet. A little bit of the old sixth sense.
That tells you what?
Just that maybe we should have looked at this with the mouth and draw. For all we know, it turned out to be a Trojan horse.
Worry about it. I am going with the wind. How can I leave this? Relax. I'll tell you all about it when I get there.
What do you think it's going to be about?
They say they've got an average temperature of 76 degrees on this planet, and the sun never goes down.
Wouldn't that be something? And they're holding metallic rocks. Beautiful. Pink. My sister had to go to work. The day you land, they take you on shopping. And you can have as much of it as you want for free.
It's just one big holiday when you get there. They didn't got a form of baseball with leagues and everything.
Man, I don't think I'll ever come back.
And the whole trip. It really is smile night. The whole trip only takes a few days. I guess you may. Oh, they're so polite.
Thank you. turn slowly. Automatic control. Battery. Fire. Nothing. Battery. Fire. Battery. Fire. Phantom.
Dead on target, sir.
Good. Give me audio card.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, attention. May have been a ruse to divert us from some other part of the perimeter. You men will continue watching on your own immediate front. That is all. Are you sure you've got a real blip there?
Because the house, sir, and we were dead on target with both bursts. It's coming on again.
Straight across?
It shows here. It's still coming.
Great. Strong. Set up a crossfire on those rocks.
I am leaving soon, and you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day, and the threat of aggression by any group, anywhere, can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure. Now, this does not mean giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly. Your ancestors knew this when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce them. We of the other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created a race of robots. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one and preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power over us. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is, we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. Now, we do not pretend to have achieved perfection, but we do have a system, and it works. I came here to give you these facts. It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
The escape on narcissist flows through space and it drifts to the place of a deep salvage base.
Bio read after all on the green, looks like she's alive.
Ah, there goes the salvage, eh?
She's sent to Gateway Station in hospital for weeks.
The side effect of such an unusually long hypersleep.
The company man, Burke, confirms all her fears.
You were out there for 57 years.
When she feels better, she has to go to court about blowing up the Nostromo and the alien she fought. In space, no one can hear you scream. At least that was the case with Ripley's last team. No one believes her, now Ripley is shocked.
Because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
When they condescend, Ripley lets the Semper fly.
You can just kiss all that goodbye!
Van Leeuwen finds her guilty and confines her to a station for 6 months probation and a psych evaluation. Now the alien planet is occupied apparently a mining colony with
maybe 70 families.
A few months later and the company's in a fix.
We lost contact with LV-426.
Why, this could be the company's none the wiser.
I would like you there as an advisor.
Ripley says no, comes as no shock though when she decides to go on the ship's narco. Although she's new, she joins the crew and they all wake up in their cryo-chew. Have a sleep, don't appeal, but it's part of the deal.
You look just like I feel.
A pole's more effective than any alarm.
They in a Marine Corps like a day on the farm. They want to do adventures of this way.
Hudson replies.
Pleasure, sir. I'd like to
look into my eyes.
But Gazdas will push up than anyone can.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
They all get ready and go to have lunch.
The lieutenant's too good to eat with the rest of his friends.
Bishop does his life trick as fast as he can. Hudson says,
I wasn't funny, man.
The robot Bishop offers Ripley a place.
Stay away from me, Bishop. You got that straight?
Now they're on a bug hunt. There's no doubt about it.
How do I get out of this chicken shit out?
Vasquez makes light of the death of Ripley's crew.
I hope you're right. I really do.
By 6 a.m. he wants the preparations done and clear.
Assholes and elbows.
There's an empty power loader and Ripley gets on it. To show off in front of Hicks, she says,
where you want it?
They pose with the smart guns, the mission's way easy. They pour through the door and board the APC. Inside the dropship, the armor car parks. And Pharaoh's about to blast off.
On my mark.
Not much to frown, Hudson's acting a clown.
Express elevator to hell. Going down.
The dropship dies, Beryl keeps them alive.
We're in the fight. Bye, bye, bye.
They get there quick to every 426. They pull there.
Somebody wake up Hicks.
The dropship lands. The APC is manned. They jump out of plan. Then the landscape is scanned. They inspect the first deck. The checks are reserved. As they expect, the complex is deserted. Rain from above comes down in a flood. Homes burned by the aliens.
Acid from blood.
Contained in meds that are bar parasites to see.
Looks like love at first sight to me.
An alert is heard on the motion tracker. But it's a little girl. A little girl to catch her. She dies down the chute. But Ripley's in pursuit. After a brief dispute, she becomes a new recruit. The girl is cute, but appears to be mute. They get to the roof. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They scan for the colonists, data information. They find them at the atmosphere processing station. A bomb brings up the rear. They have no fear. They pack up the gear. The colonists are near.
What is it, Hudson?
The image ain't clear.
You tell me, man. I only work here.
Ripley spots an immediate danger.
They're right under the primary heat exchanger.
Look, we can't have any firing in there.
He's fucking crazy.
They don't think it's fair. That's when they find the colonist cocooned in the wall.
Get over here with that live one!
They hear Dietrich call. Blood sprays through a vest and a baby alien burst through a chest. They wipe out the alien with the torrent of flame. They got themselves to blame. The tracker goes insane.
They didn't show up any threat at all.
But Dietrich on the wall is the first to fall. With Dietrich lost, next goes lost. Ammunition goes off at a terrible cost. It's all gone wrong.
Right, people, what is going on?
But this is the end of the sergeant's career.
Sergeant John, get the fuck out of here!
They're taking a knock, they're all in shock, but the gas are last as a blast.
Let's run!
A rescue is something normal but allowed.
Get them out of there! Do it now!
Ripley takes charge after strapping all the crew in.
Ripley, what the hell are you doing?
She flies through the sight to clean up this mess, then crashes through the wall at the alien nest. There's no time for grieving, those that aren't breathing.
Break, we are leaving.
As they bring up the rear, Vasquez makes a mistake, and a flood of acid blood gets the face of poor Drake. They try to close the door, they hear a deep hiss. Hicks grabs his shotgun and shouts.
Eat this!
Then Ripley speeds away, escaping the monster. The box falls where it's stored, knocking Gorman unconscious. An alien drops from the top, but is not from the ride. Alas, they crash fast through the glass doors outside. Hicks gets with the stop. We're saying this down. They patch themselves up and throw some ideas around. Ripley isn't daunted, she gets things sorted.
We can't go off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
The dropship's on its way, a bit never short. The Pharaoh doesn't know about the alien on board. With the pilot gone, the ship rises with some boulders. Relief turns to alarm for Ripley and the soldiers. The APC and dropship go supernova.
Game over, man. Game over.
They decide to go inside, listening to Nuke closely.
We must become nice.
After the Marines' annihilation, they head back to operations to fortify the station for more alien invasion. So piling the weapons and collecting all the rations, Ripley checks the company log to find out how it happened. It was Burke being a jerk that made the situation fall.
You sent them out there and you didn't even warn them.
Bishop calls a meeting with everyone attending.
That's it.
emergency vending.
The cooling towers ruptured during the battle early on. The place was going to explode and they didn't have long. Someone's got to go to the uplink tower to remote pilot the dropship within the next hour. Bishop volunteered but no one else in the group did.
I may be synthetic, but I'm not stupid.
So they open up the tunnel, Bishop gets inside, but it'll take a while to get there because it isn't very wide. Then Ripley goes for a nap with Newt on the floor, but when she wakes up she has a shock in store. Somebody came in and set the facehuggers free, then locked the lab door so Ripley can't flee. Ripley waves to the camera hoping they will be seen, but Burke slowly turns off the monitor screen. The gun's in the other room now, but they just can't make it. The windows won't break, but Ripley uses her head and sets off a fire alarm instead. That's when a facehugger hops from up on the top. She throws it away, but it cannot be stopped. Newt starts screaming up and Hicks will find her, but doesn't notice the facehugger behind her. That's when the Marines arrive and Hicks jumps to the glass. Hudson pushes Newt aside, shooting the facehugger fast. The rest will gather around to try and save Ripley. They pull the parasite off her and they take it out quickly. She throws the door because her throat is still hurt. To get back to operation to start giving Burke hell, Hudson says,
"Keep dog me,
alright, we waste him."
The mood has gone sour, the lights go out, Ripley said. The motion tracker goes off, there's movement in the hall, so they see that the doors are back against the wall.
Can't see that inside the room.
So Hicks gets in the ceiling and illuminates the gloom. The aliens drop down, the situation's dire. Burke makes his escape while the Marines are on fire. He blocks the barricade as the banging on the door comes face to face with another xenomorph. The Marines are outnumbered, has been setting in the score. When they come from underneath them and they pull him through the floor. But scares once the door, doesn't look like it'll last. With the action still behind him, it looks like they are stuck, but they're in luck. Newt leads them down the air duct. Hicks asks Bishop, how long until he's finished?
ETA, 16 minutes!
I'm scared Bishop to fear as the aliens attack. The acid from an alien puts him on her back. Gorma goes to help her, but then comes the unexpected. An alien bursts up and blocks the only exit. They get out some grenades and finish the job for them.
You always were an asshole, Gorma.
The other three escape, Newt's hit by a blast. She slips through Ripley's grasp on the ventilator shaft. They're spurred on now by the tracker alert, but when they get to the lift, Hicks gets hurt. They have to take off his armor as acid disintegrates. Ripley has to carry in, doesn't look like he will make it. Ripley gets into the dropship, puts Bishop on the spot. She wants to rescue Newt.
We're not leaving!
We're not?
She loads up all the guns and prepares to save her with the person who located the Hicks she gave her. She goes to sub-level 3 despite Bishop's insistence.
15 minutes to reach minimum safe distance.
She'll follow Newt's signal until she is found, but that's when she finds the wristband on the ground. Newt starts screaming. Luckily, Ripley hears her and blasts the face hugger before it gets nearer. She picks up Newt gently without being seen, but then accidentally backs into the Queen. The Queen sees that Ripley is after the teeth, so she calls off the guards and lets Ripley retreat. She's just about out without the aliens harassing, but then an egg opens and Ripley starts blasting. Ripley goes mental, and who can blame her? She shoots everything inside, destroying the egg chamber. After wasting all the ammo, which would be handy later, she escapes with Newt to the nearest elevator. But the launch pad is empty of dropship and crew. The lift opens up, the Queen's managed to find her, the Bishop dropship appears behind her. They jump on the ramp and are chased by the Queen. The ship's caught in debris, but then it breaks free. They fly off into complex, melt up below them, and the dropship is dropped by a nuclear explosion. They get back safe. Bishop did great. The artificial person is finally her mate. But they failed! Bishop's impaled right up to the hilt, ripped in half, drew in blood like a fountain of milk.
Here!
Says Ripley and runs to the door to distract the Queen while Newt hides in the floor. The Queen gets frustrated, but Newt escaping without hesitating, starts ripping up the grating. But before much waiting, Ripley comes straight in, armed with a power loader and a class 2 rating. Newt's trapped in a ditch, screaming high pitch.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Ripley's now locked and cleans the Queen's top, who gets knocked across the door over through the airlock. But without a pause, the Queen grabs her with the claws and they fall with force on the loading bay doors. Ripley's first up and quickly climbs the ladder. The Queen's pinned down but still manages to grab her. But Ripley isn't done. She activates her control and throws the green alien right out of the hole. She flies into space and now she's been disposed. Ripley pushes the button to make sure the door's closed. Although Bishop's torn in half, he's still friendly to them.
Not bad for a human.
They get in their cryo tubes after defeating the Queen. Newt is finally safe.
Can I dream?
They go to hypersleep and head home with speed, but the survivor's future would be dark indeed. But mysteriously, some eggs have ended up on board. Facehuggers make their way to where the cryotubes are stored. An electrical fire is started by acid, and the pods are ejected because the damage is massive. Newt drowns in the tube because they crash in the sea, and Hicks dies on impact, impaled by a beam. Bishop is smashed beyond repair, and Ripley is forced to shave off her hair. But worst of all, it turns out the bitch is back. The planet's prisoner population is promptly attacked. They have no weapons. Ripley has to use her hair and burn the alien in hot lead instead. The company comes looking, but before they can find her, Ripley kills herself. She had an alien inside her. And if you thought this story went in a funny direction, wait until you see Alien Resurrection.
Game over, man!
As I speak, that army is drawing nearer to our home. Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here before you now, truthfully, unafraid. Why? Because I believe something you do not? No! I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have set their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us send a message to that army. Tonight, let us shake this cave. Tonight, let us... black sky. Tonight, let us make them remember. This is Zion, and we are not afraid!
Science has agreed that unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth will be extinct within a year.
On your full cooperation with the military authorities.
Yes, cities, nations, even civilization itself, threatened with annihilation because in one moment of history-making violence, nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. But born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous, there is no word to describe them.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true, and there shall be destruction and darkness come up in creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
Yes, the earth, the skies above and the seas below, infested by swarms of nightmare creatures, crueler, deadlier than the armored giants of prehistoric eras. Here is a wild, headlong flight into terror, as the desert erupts with the grim battle for survival. Here is a fear-frenzied moment of suspense, as mankind totters before a thing that multiplies faster than it can be killed. Here is a desperate plunge into the black depths of the earth, where human courage challenges the brute force, the slashing jaws, the poison fangs that guard the subterranean nest where the beast spawns its terrible progeny.
To all units, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area.
Is there any type of gas we can use?
No, we can't take a chance. It might poison the whole city.
Thank you. Vegas to nowhere. Someplace better than where you've been. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. In a little cafe just around the bend. A change is coming, coming closer, sweet relief.
Crying, and I can't see. float through the crisscross of the mountains, watch them fade to nothing. When the world ends, you know, that's what's happening now. I'm gonna be there with you somehow. Oh, I wanna tie you up like a baby in a carriage car.
For listening, there will be extra shows, extra movies, extra music, but never with any set pattern. We just want to say boo in as many ways as possible, just as has always been our policy musically about soul not being a monolith, neither scaring the shit out of you. And sometimes the fear is not the fear that makes your hair stand up, just works under your skin and then wakes your ass up in the middle of the night. Well, Lord said the tree, take care, go safe, and I dedicate this show and the remaining shows for the month to all the survivors. All y'all who've been through some shit, you don't have to say what. You got through, you made it. This is your way of saying hooray for you, because you're not the type to look to pat yourself on the back. You just keep on going. I know what it's like to be left for dead, and I don't mean that in the figurative sense. Somebody did that to me literally. And I'm still here. Like my man said in the movies, we are still here. And there's more of us out there than you think. So, it takes a lot, but more than anything else, it takes courage, conviction, and the genuine caring of somebody special. I shout this out to my new wife, Nada, who I love intensely, to my brother, Julius, who just had a birthday recently, and to all his kith and kin. My sister Rini and my sisters in love, Valerie and Yolanda. The rest of my fam, Waj and Nikki, and the rest of my Canadian fam, who I may see soon and steal a piece of turkey sometime in October. On behalf of all of us here at the tree, go safe, stay safe, be safe. And remember, you don't have to fit in anybody's, you don't have to fit in anyone's category. Just be who you are. And if it doesn't match what everybody else is thinking, just understand.
I keep looking for a place to fit in where I can speak my mind. And I've been trying hard to find the people that I won't leave behind. They say I got brains, but they get the inspiration to go change.